Boys fan, I know. Yeah. It's fine. Cling to the past. That's all we have, brother.
Yeah, these Walmart shelves are starting to look like Cowboys trophy cases.
Yeah, that's true.
Just taking all those little memes and putting them in a pocket for later use.
Pull them out one at a time. The only reason the Dallas trophy case looks bare is because Jerry Jones perfectly sleeps with all five Lombardi trophies every night.
Well, unless he's having a sleepover with McCarthy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, he lets McCarthy sleep with the NFC trophies. He doesn't ever get touched to Lombardi.
Gotcha. So what'd you pick up that I'm going to like?
12-gauge Ithaca shotgun.
Okay. You going to try to search it?
Inertia fed, semi-automatic.
Okay. You going to do a little turkey hunting? Is that what you going to do?
Indeed, sir.
Oh, fantastic.
You start acting nice, I may invite you to come with.
Oh, wow.
There's about seven or eight roaming the property up in Chucky right now.
Okay. Well, do you know how to call them in?
Well, I'm sure not as well as you, Ted Nugent.
Oh, well, we'll have to just teach you how then.
Well, that'll be fine. I'll provide you a new plot of earth to hunt. You can learn me all of your Rambo skills.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
If that doesn't work out, we can all be Tiger Kings.
Hey, have you seen that yet?
I watched the whole thing in the day.
I've seen all the stupidity on Facebook about it. I can't do it.
Oh, that's beneath you. You can't seem to watch it.
No, I mean, to me, it's kind of like The Office. Like there's a point where it's like there's funny, and then there's stupid. And, like, I kind of feel like, for me, The Office, at least in the first season, you all said it got better as the seasons went on. But in the first season, it was like there was funny, and then there was some of it that was just stupid. It's kind of like those Trailer Park Boys. You guys ever watch those shows?
Yeah.
No, I've never watched that.
Yeah, see, to me, it's like there's funny, and then there's stupid. So I kind of feel like this Tiger King would be the same way. I feel like there's going to be times that I'm going to laugh my hind end off. And then I feel like there's other parts I'm going to look at it and be like, this is stupid.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. And besides, I'm into season 6 of Justified right now. I've been trying to watch that whole thing again. So
you're just uncivilized and don't know what to watch, Mer. It's fine.
Yeah, you know. I'll see if I can get on your level, Tim.
Well,
I know it's a mighty, mighty in order, high mountain.
You're not gonna reach the throne that I sit on, but
maybe you can get close.
If you can just touch the hem of my garment, then you'll be all right.
Mer, are you in media blackout broadcasting from North Korea again today?
No, I just
bamboo curtain.
No, I just don't ever do the video.
Are you self-conscious, son?
Sometimes.
I mean, if you would just do the Scott Holly, be no reason to be self-conscious.
That man's too stupid to know what self-conscious is. He can't spell conscious. Half the time when he does those videos, I don't think that he knows he is conscious.
Hey. 2020. Bobby Jack, what year is it? Well, you know what year it is. Whatever it is. Look at your calendar on your refrigerator. Hey, there's Marty Murr tuning in. What are you doing, young? How you doing? Tim Anderson. Hey. Good looking beard there. Hey. But whatever year it is, storm's coming. And get my hand as close to the camera as I can. Storm's coming. Hell, you can't buy entertainment like that, boys.
All you hobnobbers up there at the Blackthorn Club.
Man, that was the word I was looking for. I told my buddy James about him yesterday, and I was like, there was some word that he made up talking about the rich guys. It was the hobnobbers. I couldn't remember that word.
The fact that he used it as a noun and a verb.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Hobnobbers hobnobbing. Sounds like a 70s porno to me.
Whoa.
A bunch of hobnobbers hobnobbing on the doorknob. A bunch of hobnobbers hobnobbing on Knob Creek on a doorknob. My goodness.
One. All right. Happy opening day eve for baseball, if it were actually being played. I'm Big Time here with the coach and the author, Marty Murr. Welcome to Sliders and Spirals, another podcast within a week of each other. I think we're getting pretty good at this.
Good times. Good times of practicing social distancing, too.
Not too bad.
Of course, we've got Murr still blacked out, and you get to see our faces still, but that's worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
During these hard times, Murr was, you know, passing out lunches today, serving his community, and now he's broadcasting live from North Korea. Of course, you know, not allowed on the video. So, but yeah. You know, he is soldiering on like a true American, and I, for one, am very proud of him.
I appreciate that.
Just wish I could be like him, although I'd change a few things.
Oh, yeah, a lot of things.
Just your taste in TV shows.
Oh, well. Well, if you could change my taste in TV shows and your taste in sports teams, we would be okay.
Oh, I heard crickets. That wasn't funny.
Mm. Tim, actually, speaking of which, picked up lunch, a little takeout today with my boy. And remember those old quarter crank machines that used to spit out the stickers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murr, this was for you. Go Cubs. But this one, he asked me if I would give it to Big Time Tim. So if we ever get back to the office there.
Yeah.
He wanted me to make sure that you received that.
That just seems like fate. What are the chances? A Cubs and a Red Sox sticker. Probably didn't even stock it with the Yankee ones.
Well, I was going to say it's probably because it's all that's left in the machine because nobody wants them.
Mm-hmm. Crickets. Anyways, so we've got a few things to talk about today. We're going to do a buy or sell segment here on Sliders and Spirals and kind of talk about some NFL stuff, some NCAA basketball stuff, and kind of run through these things and get your all's take on a few things. So just jumping right into it with our NFL, buy or sell Tom Brady to the Bucks. So let's kind of set the parameters for this if we're buying or selling. What do you consider success for Tampa Bay and the Bucks with Tom Brady?
Right now it's playoff relevancy. I mean, that's the first step. Tampa Bay has been that team that has struggled to get over the hump here recently. Winston hasn't got it done. He's done as much damage offensively as he's done good for him. So Brady comes in and gets this bunch 9-7 plus. I mean, that's pretty solid in my book, especially in an NFC South that looks pretty stout right now. Doesn't look too bad at all. The Falcons have beefed up. The Saints are always solid. This man gets 9-7, 10-6, and gets in the playoffs. That's huge in the first year.
Yeah, I would agree. I would put Tom Brady right now in that same boat as Joe Montana at the end of his career. You know, he leaves San Francisco, gets traded to the Chiefs, and you know he makes the Chiefs team, which was again kind of in that same boat as Tampa Bay, takes them to the AFC Championship game. You know, at the end of his career, so he shows that he still had a little bit left in the tank, and I think that's the deal for me right now with Brady. is can he get it done in the NFC South, which is, like, you know, Eden said, pretty tough. The Saints picking up Emmanuel Sanders to go opposite of Michael Thomas is going to really help them. So we'll see how Brady does it. But yeah, I think it's got to be a playoff or bust for him to be successful.
So buy or sell, the Bucs make the NFC Championship.
I would say a very, very, very hard sell.
Hard sell.
Yeah, if they go 7-9 with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions, I'm buying the fact that Brady can get them in the playoffs. But they're not going to beat the Saints. They're not going to beat probably the Packers. They're not going to beat the 49ers. I can see them finishing. I'll buy the fact that they finish second in the South and make a wild card spot. They're not going NFC Championship.
No, I mean, and I could even see them winning a game in the playoffs. I mean, he's got some weapons. They're not a bad football team as they sit right now. But, again, the Buccaneers defense, for me, in a lot of spots, is still a little suspect. So, I can see them winning a playoff game. I can see them, like Merz said, getting the wild card spot, finishing two behind the Saints. But hard sell on them making an NFC title game, at least this year. The Bucs have to invest in defense.
I'm buying it. Tom Brady, adding Tom Brady to the roster automatically makes you a championship contender. I don't care how old he is. Somewhere, somehow, either the 49ers or the Saints stumble, and the Bucs end up making the championship game. You can go ahead and punch their ticket to the NFC Championship.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is March, and Big Time Tim is already orchestrating the dominoes to where Brady gets to prove a point this year. And listen, I think Brady proves a point. I just don't think it's this year.
If it's not this year, it has to be within the next 2 years.
Well, year after, I don't think Drew Brees will be in the league. Year after, I mean, you know, I have so many hang-ups with the Atlanta Falcons. Just especially on the defensive end. Year after, I think they win the South. But this year, hard sell. So, buy or sell Phillip Rivers as an Indianapolis Colt.
I'm buying it. Old man Rivers brings his 12 children across to the United States.
River.
You have an offensive line that's actually going to protect for him. The Colts were ranked third in amount of sacks allowed last year with Jacoby Brissett, which is, you know, he's a more mobile quarterback, but at the same time, Rivers will get the ball out pretty quickly. I don't know how successful they're going to be, given the fact that you're in a division with the Texans and the Titans. Depends on if Tannehill can orchestrate a season like he had last year. But I think they improve. So I'll buy it. I'll buy Rivers to the Colts. I think it's an upgrade in that sense. But for how long, who knows?
Right. Again, divisional situation doesn't really favor him. I think it's going to be a huge upgrade for the Colts. So I'm going to buy Rivers to the Colts. Rivers is going to be successful. Will he be more successful than he was in San Diego? /LA, I don't think so. I don't think this is his way to glory. It's not his way to the promised land. It's a good situation. The Chargers wanted you out. The Colts wanted you in. And this is a way for you to live a few more days in the sun. So, I think he'll be successful, but no more than he already has been in his career.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy him as a Colt being successful as far as being a playoff team. I could see them finishing second behind the Texans and maybe even jumping the Texans and winning that division, because let's let's remember that basically the best wide receiver the Texans have ever had in DeAndre Hopkins is no longer there.
Yeah, I don't. You can't count out the Tennessee Titans there, Murr. I mean, Ryan Tannehill led the NFL in handoffs completed last year.
Well, I understand that, but eventually you're going to have exactly what happened when they ran into Kansas City in the playoffs. They're going to shut the run game down, and Tannehill's not going to be able to do it. So, I mean, it's – you know, I think he's in a better situation with the Colts. It is – there's something to be said for the fact that he's wanted by the Colts. You know, whenever he was in L.A., didn't really – you know, he didn't want to move from San Diego. And so there was a rift there the whole time they've been in L.A. But I think he, you know, kind of in the same boat of what I think is going to happen with Brady. He's going to get a wild card spot, maybe a divisional round spot, win a game or two in the playoffs, and be done. I don't necessarily think that we're going to see him make a run for the Super Bowl or anything like that. Maybe if the playoff bracket makes itself happen the right way, maybe he pulls off an upset to get to an AFC championship game. But
right.
There's a couple of buzzsaws there in the AFC right now with the Ravens and the Chiefs, and it's going to be mighty, mighty difficult to knock one of those guys off.
Well, I'm with you on the aspect of them being a playoff team. I mean, honestly, I think – I don't know what the Texans are doing. I think probably the three of us should apply for that general manager's job if one of us can get it. I haven't heard anything in Houston, but, I mean, he does have a chance to come in and battle the top for that division crown. So,
you look at it. I mean, if they handle their business in their division, there's only three certain losses on their schedule, that being Green Bay, Minnesota, and Baltimore. And I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, win out the rest of them, but it will very well could be between the Titans and the Colts in this division again. Back when, you know, Manning was there, and if that's the case, then you're not going to get a first round bye. Those are going to be the Chiefs and the Ravens for sure, but you're going to at least get a playoff home game against one of those wild card teams. So, I mean, theoretically, the schedule helps them out quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
So, moving on, talking about the playoffs, my team, which seems to be in complete disarray, the Patriots. Buy or sell, the Patriots make the playoffs this year.
Wow. In Belichick, they trust. I'm going to say buying the Patriots as a playoff team. It's going to be a wild card spot. You know, I mean, it's not going to be that first round bye like you're talking about. Maybe they get the home game and win their division because that division's never really that good. And it seems like Belichick has the perfect system to just plug and play. I mean, he obviously seems to be pretty confident with Stidham back there. So, until Belichick doesn't make the playoffs, Belichick, until he doesn't make the playoffs, I'm going to buy him as a playoff team.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy them as a playoff team just for the simple fact that they do play in the East, where you have the Jets, who are atrocious and can't seem to figure out a thing that they're doing. You've got a Dolphins team that has nobody to play quarterback and no running backs. And then you've got a Bills team, which is probably going to be the one that will contend for the division this year. You know, that's up in the air, but I think at minimum, I could see them making a wild card. I mean, looking at the schedule, you know, you're going to lose to the Chiefs for sure. You're going to lose to the 49ers. You're going to lose to the Ravens. You're going to lose to the Seahawks. So it's four losses right off the bat, but I think you can scrounge enough wins to sneak in
9-7.
9-7, 10-6.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to buy it. Listen, the Patriots are 10-6 and AFC East champions.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be fine.
I think the Bills will falter a little bit this year. I don't know how much I trust Josh Allen in the big game right now, especially after watching his last big game.
The lateral didn't convince you that you can trust him?
No. Which one?
The one that he's going out of bounds.
There was a couple. I still think that's the Patriots' division, and it's their division until someone says it isn't. It's not a great division. It's really not. So landlord Bill still has the lease on that joint, and it'll be his division to lose again this year. So I'm definitely buying them as a playoff team, no matter who's playing quarterback. Belichick may play quarterback. Who knows?
Well, kind of shifting gears for the NFL over to the NCAA basketball. With the cancellation of March Madness this year, there's been a lot of speculation about whether these seniors should get another year of eligibility, and not just the basketball, but all spring sports seniors. Buy or sell, extra year of eligibility for these kids that didn't get to play this year?
I think 4 years spring sports, baseball, softball, track and field, all that kind of stuff, I think you have to, most definitely. I mean, because, you know, they're only a handful of games in when everything gets shut down. But as far as the winter sports go with the basketball, all they really missed was the tournament. So I don't think that you give them an entire year of eligibility over a tournament. I mean, they all played, you know, close to 30 games or so, whatever it is that they play, 30, 40 games in their regular season. So for most of these seniors, you're talking about one tournament game that in their conference and then they're done. You're talking maybe two or three games in the conference tournament and, you know, 3 to 4 games in the big tournament. For your better teams, you know, your upper echelon, so, and maybe your Cinderella. So, at most, your seniors really only missed out on maybe 10 games for their, and that's for a select few. Most of them only missed out on 5 or less games. I don't think you deserve a whole year of eligibility for that.
No, I agree with you. I know that's heartbreaking. Every team that was going to qualify for the big dance is going to say, oh, well, we could have won the thing and that was taken from us. And I get that, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. It can't be helped. It's an act of God situation and, you know, things happen. I don't think you get a full year of eligibility. Cause then you're talking about messing up scholarship numbers. You're talking about a whole world of adjustment. It's not as simple as just saying, here's an extra year for you. When you do that, you have to realign scholarships. You have to waive roster numbers. There's a lot that the NCAA will have to legislate to do that. But I do also agree with you on the other point. Spring sports have completely and totally lost the season, should get another year. Because they haven't had a chance to prove yourself. They haven't had a chance to go compete in the regular season. I mean, if you're a 9 seed going into your conference tournament, I don't want to hear anything about what could have been. Now, I get it's disappointing. It is. It's disappointing for high school students right now, for middle school students, everywhere. But spring sports certainly deserves another year of eligibility. That rides the ship there, but – winter sports, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow, but swallow it, I think you're going to have to.
Really, I mean, in a dream situation, I would be able to buy this and there'd be no repercussions to it. And you look at teams like Dayton, or even more so locally for us, you look at ECSU and the magical year that they've had you know, winning the regular season, winning the SoCon, and then we'll see later on that they predicted to get as high as a number 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. And you really feel bad for these kids, and you wish you could do more. But kind of what you guys have said already is, you know, how do you manage something like that? There's not a feasible way to manage something in this situation, because you do that and you bring back five senior players, and we'll just stick with basketball for the time being. You bring back five senior players, but then you've also recruited five additional freshman players. Well, now you're talking about scholarships, but you're also talking about playing time. And if you've promised playing time, or that was your recruiting style in offering early playing time and not having to sit out, then what are you doing to those kids? What are you doing to those kids, forcing them to go out and have to look for other opportunities? I just don't see that it's something that's possible. It's unfortunate, but that's life, man. I hate to sound so cold and callous about it, but that's just life. I mean, we all face those types of situations, and we've all been in a situation where we wish it could have been different, but it just can't be. And there's just no way. I don't see how the NCAA can feasibly give any more eligibility, even to the spring athletes. I don't think that it's possible.
Well, and that's one of the things for me is, like, when you look at basketball for the winter sport, you know, predominantly, I mean, there are other winter sports, one of my favorites being wrestling, that even, you know, a lot of universities don't even have. But when you look at basketball, I mean, you got a couple of situations here. Number one, this is uncharted territory for all of us, in a sense that our entire life is based around this go, 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 go kind of mentality. You know, be here at this time, be there at that time, kind of thing. We're always on the move in our American society, and this particular virus has come around and it's put everybody on hold. And unfortunately, life, even though we're having to put it on hold, doesn't stop. And like you said, there's going to be high school seniors that are going to be coming into freshman classes. And in a sport like basketball, where you only have five players on the floor and maybe, you know, seven or eight on the bench, well, what's that going to look like if you got five players on the floor and 14 on the bench?
Right.
I mean, that's just almost impossible to try to manage. Now, if we were talking football, that might be a little bit different. You know, I mean, when you're talking about offense, defense, special teams, that kind of thing, I mean, you can find a place for about anybody on a football field. Keeping, you know, 15 seniors and bringing 15 freshmen in, no big deal. You put them on a practice – you put your freshmen on the practice squad, redshirt them. It gives them an extra year of eligibility. And, you know, and you're golden.
Well, and then one thing that we haven't really kind of mentioned here is – your juniors and sophomores have lost a year of eligibility as well. Are you going to give them an extra year of eligibility too? And then you just prolong this out for the next 4 years, yeah, based off of 1 year's worth of sports, because they're going to need it too.
The problem is you can't go back in time and change it. You wish it hadn't happened, but it did happen. You know, that's true for any game. You think about any upset you've ever seen in that tournament, in the big dance. Oh, well, if we had just run this instead of that, if I'd have just closed off the lane. Well, you wish you could go back and take it back, but you can't. And, you know, like you said, you don't want to sound cold and callous about it, but it is what it is. You know, another aspect, you know, a lot of these kids are going to be professionals in something other than sport. But you think about kids with draft stock and draft status. You think about being a junior on that bench, and you talked about this a little earlier. You think about being a junior on that bench, and it's your time to lead, and it's your time to shine. And all of a sudden, here comes the senior that you shared the floor with, played behind, came off the bench for. What does that do to your future?
Yeah. And
you don't get to be an I or a me or a selfish part of the game, but to an extent, why do you work so hard to get off the bench? Why do you grind to help the team, but to help yourself as well, so you're better equipped to help the team? Now that opportunity is taken from you. I mean, Doc Brown ain't coming by in the DeLorean today. Yeah. We can't go back.
That's true.
But Marty makes a great point. This is a whole lot easier to do for football and for spring sports when you have a larger number on the field and a larger number on your sideline. So it might be a blessing in disguise, you know, because you think then, well, what if it had happened during another season? You know, what if this had happened at the start of basketball season instead of the end? Would we really be considering doing this for basketball at that point? And think about what a mess that could potentially be. You know, where does it end? Do you, like you guys said, do you stop and say, well, juniors get that extra year? Well, sophomores get it, you know? So it's probably good that it happened during the time frame that it did with spring sports, because that's a whole lot easier to maneuver.
Well, since we aren't having the tournament, I guess it's we can talk about what ifs. And in particular today, we're going to talk about buy or sell, whether ETSU could have made the Final Four. And so when we look at this, for those of you that are listening, we've got Andy Katz's predictions about where he believed that everyone would have been seated and the regions that they would be in. And that's kind of what we're basing this off of. And ETSU would have fell into the Indianapolis region and would have been a 10 seed and in their first game facing West Virginia. So we're going to kind of look at this and run through it and see where we think they would have landed and what kind of run they would have made. So just starting here off the top, 7 versus the 10, West Virginia versus ETSU.
Well, I tell you what, Tim, we've got 3 of us here. So 2 votes advances them. Let's play it like that.
All right. That sounds good.
2 votes advances them. When 2 votes doesn't, obviously that's as far as we had them getting. I will take them to maul West Virginia. West Virginia's a good basketball team. Very solid defense. But coming out of that SoCon, as hot as they did, I'll take Forbes against West Virginia in the first round. No problem.
Yeah, I'm with Edens on that one. I mean, ETSU has size down low. They have speed. They've got, you know, the sharpshooters. Yeah, I'd take them over West Virginia.
I don't even need to vote, but I would also take them over West Virginia. Too much 3-point shooting from that ETSU team. So you've got them moving on out, and then they would play the winner of Maryland versus Little Rock, which I guess we can assume would be Maryland. That would be a tough test to me. Maryland beatable, yes. I don't know. Y'all go ahead. I can't make a decision on that one yet.
Maryland has been outstanding this year. One of the best teams in basketball. I think ETSU gives them a run for their money. I know a lot of these social media sites, Twitters, had votes, and ETSU made it very far. That's because ETSU has a tremendous fan base. You know, you drive by ETSU, it may not look like a real big university, but it has got a tremendous fan base, and it stretches far and wide. But those votes aren't going to help them on the court against the Terps. I will take the Terps right here.
I tell you what, when I look at this, you know, we've talked to earlier, Josh, you mentioned those teams that, you know, just come in and pull off the upset kind of thing. And for me, it's all about those 3-point shooters that Forbes has. And, you know, it's really difficult to just go 3 for 3 with these guys. And like you said, they were shooting the lights out of it. They were hot out of the SoCon tournament. I think Maryland probably goes into that game saying, this is just a little SoCon team. We've got this taken care of. And, I'm gonna go with the underdog on that one. I think Pat Good pulls up and drains one toward the end of the game there and takes Tennessee to the next round.
Well, I knew that was coming. Can't fault a man for staying loyal to the alma mater and throwing a local boy a bone right there.
I mean, yeah, I guess you kind of have to there. I mean, just to keep this segment going, I'm going ETSU over Maryland. I think there's something special about the team, and we're playing hypotheticals. And in this case, I get to decide that they move on, in which case they would probably play the winner of Villanova and Ohio State. Who do y'all think would take that one?
I mean, personally, Villanova and Ohio State really haven't impressed me at all. So I would pick them to beat either one of those teams. Again, you watch those great Duke teams that won their national championships, and that three ball, man, it just there. And you know, both of you guys have coached basketball as well. I mean, it's one thing whenever you're going down the floor and you're running your offense, and you get a big dunk or you know, an easy backdoor basket or something like that. But it really does a lot for your momentum when you have three or four possessions in a row, man, and it's just like, golly, these guys can't miss. You know, and you have a 15-point swing in five or six possessions, that's hard to come back from.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I watched ETSU play Kansas, and it was something special, and I think they played one of the best games of their lives against Kansas back there earlier in the year, and I think they've grown and become a better team. But I'm thinking that might be where the run would stop for ETSU. I think Cinderella, the clock would have struck midnight then.
Well, again, I didn't have them getting past Maryland. I do think that it could be, like Mer said, it could be either team. I'll give a little bit of an edge to Ohio State, because as much as I hate to admit that the Big Ten is good at anything, the Big Ten basketball has been very solid this year. So I'll give a little bit of an edge to Ohio State over Villanova. But like I said, I think the matchup with ETSU and Ohio State or Villanova is more favorable than the one with Maryland. So, you know, I may very well take ETSU in this matchup. Right? Didn't take them over Maryland, though.
Yeah.
So where does that put us on the vote? Mer, did you have them advancing?
I did. I had them advancing against Ohio State.
Two very hairy rounds right here. So, hey, again, for the good people of the state of Maryland, I did not have you beating your Terrapins, but we're here now, and move those jokers on, Tim. Move those jokers on.
And you know what's crazy? What's crazy, Josh, is that if we do move them on into the Elite Eight, then we're going to probably see an ETSU Kansas rematch.
I would think so. Yeah,
which was a phenomenal game at the, you know, earlier in the year. And Tim, you just mentioned that ETSU is a much better team now than they were when they played Kansas really close. What was it, like a 1-2 point game against Kansas? The first time that they played them. So hypothetically, if we're saying that they're a better, more well-rounded, more complete basketball team now than they were when they played Kansas to a 1-point game, hypothetically, we say they have an opportunity to beat Kansas.
Do you hear that sound? Do you hear it? It also doesn't hurt that Kansas has had a reputation over the years for choking at some point. Do you hear that sound, that whirring, windy, swirling sound? It's the three of us being sucked into the vortex of this nonsense. My goodness, does it not line up for ETSU to make the Final Four all of a sudden? Again, good town folk of Maryland, I did not have the Buccaneers beating your team. This should have never happened, but here we are with the Buccos looking like they're going to the Final Four. So, who is it that is the fortuitous game for the Buccaneers in the Final Four? Who do we have coming out of that other region?
Oh, gosh. I mean, take a look at it. It's the New York region there. You've got San Diego State is the one. Dayton is the two. Duke is the three. Penn State is the four. I like their chances against any of those teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
so basically we're saying that potentially if they could beat Maryland.
Maryland would be the one that they would have to beat.
That's the one that we're hung up on right now.
Well, let's narrow it down here. I think San Diego State and Auburn end up hooking up. I think you've got Duke and Dayton that end up hooking up.
Yeah.
Dayton against Duke, who you got?
I would take Duke.
I would have gone Dayton, so Duke wins. San Diego State against Auburn.
San Diego State.
I'll take Bruce Pearl. I'll take Bruce. So now you've got Auburn against Duke.
See, and for me, if you watched, and Auburn did this to Tennessee last year, Auburn's one of those teams exactly like what I've been saying about ETSU, man. They get out there behind the three-point line and start getting hot, and you just can't stop them.
Well, it's just like the Tennessee game against Auburn, the last one that they played. I mean, Tennessee was up 16 and late in the second half, and then they just start hitting.
Yeah, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Forbes not work for Pearl at Tennessee?
I'm pretty sure he worked at Wichita State.
Yeah, I don't think he worked at Tennessee. You're going to have to check that one.
I may be thinking of somebody else. I was thinking that Steve Forbes was at Tennessee at one point under Pearl, but I may be wrong.
It would be a nice story if he did.
It would be a spell storyline, wouldn't it?
So basically what I'm hearing here is that we all agree that Maryland would be the huge bump in the road.
But after that, it's feasible.
But after that, it's not only feasible for them to go to the Final Four, but it's feasible for them to go to the championship.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I don't know. So you want to take the Duke Auburn game?
I would take Auburn over Duke.
I would take Auburn for sure.
So then you're just going to have a three-point shootout.
What an exciting game that would be in the Final Four.
Yes, you were correct, Edens. After spending two seasons at Texas A&M, Forbes came to Tennessee in 2006 as an assistant coach under Bruce Pearl.
So do you see the insanity that's happening here? We somehow, some way, with logic and science being thrown to the wind, again, good people of Maryland. I just want to have this meeting with Terrapins. But now they're in a Final Four. And now it's Forbes against the old boss Pearl. It's almost like God wants ETSU to be national champions.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Please tell me that Disney's shooting this as a movie.
If they're not, I will.
Pirates of the Appalachians. Something. Okay. Why not? ETSU Auburn in the Final Four. Why not?
Send them on. Send them on.
Oh yeah. My.
All right. Scroll the bracket over. Let's see who they're playing.
Okay. So you're looking at the Houston region. Baylor's got the one seed in that one. Florida State 2, Creighton 3, Michigan State 4.
I'm going to say Florida State comes out of that one, man. They've been solid all year, beating Duke and North Carolina. I would say they would win that Houston region.
Who's the 5 seed?
Arizona.
I like Tom Izzo. Big Ten basketball has been solid. You got to be seasoned after playing in a conference like that all year. I'll take Sparty.
Well, what happens if we don't choose either of those teams?
Who would you take?
I think I would take Baylor.
You know what? just to further this along, Baylor has been excellent this year. I like your athleticism. Tim, let's put Baylor in.
Okay. So then you look at the Los Angeles region. You got Gonzaga 1, Seton Hall 2, Kentucky 3, Oregon 4, Wisconsin 5.
Zaga.
I go with the Zags.
I'll go Zags.
Okay.
They always do well in the tournament anyway, and they've been dominating teams this year too.
So now you got Gonzaga against Baylor.
Zaga.
Yeah.
Baylor.
Ugh. I'm going to go Gonzaga on that one.
So now we have two lovable, smaller size schools competing for a national championship. Gonzaga. Dare I ask, who do we go with?
Gonzaga.
Ooh, monkey wrench in the gear.
ETSU, we love it. So go Bucks.
What did I just witness?
You witnessed two things. I stayed loyal to my alma mater, and I made you to be the deciding vote.
That is adorable. Well, I one time saw Mike Winchell stopped on the 1 yard line. And so shall it be for ETSU. Somebody give the crown to Gonzaga. Again, one more time, good people of Maryland. I never had the Bucks beating you, but here we are. And this is a Disney movie ending. Okay. It's probably a great game. Gonzaga wins, and it sets you up for the sequel.
There you go.
There you go.
If only we could have played it.
If only.
Well, it's like the Tootsie Pop. The world may never know.
This is true.
I think that's a good way to end this one, then.
It is.
Been a good I can't top that. So, we'll try to do better next time. Thanks for listening.